And I was living in London, depressed, hating life, working as a carpenter, winter, cold, miserable, living in a basement flat. It was one of the worst times of my life. I was really not enjoying life. And I started using red light therapy. And within a couple of, a week, maybe just more than a week, I was walking down the road like whistling, like happy, happy to be in London in winter in a job that I hated. I was like, oh my God, like I'm in such a good mood. And the only thing that had changed was red light therapy. Then I started noticing like all my wounds and my injuries because I was a carpenter. So my hands were constantly bashed up and scraped and scarred and splinters. I started noticing my wounds were healing a lot quicker.
What's happening, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Life Expanded Podcast. It's good to have you here. That was my guest on today's episode, Brian Gohl, somebody I've managed to connect with recently. And we sat down and had a pretty awesome conversation. So I'm excited to share that with you guys today. Brian is the co-founder of a company called Red Light Rising in the UK. They are a top manufacturer and distributor of red light therapy devices. And he's definitely an expert in the field of all things light therapy and red light therapy. And somebody who's very interested in biohacking and how to optimize health. And something that I'm interested in, obviously. And so we sat down and we just dissected a whole range of topics. So I hope you guys will enjoy. Give it a listen. Let me know what you think. And before we dive in, I just want to mention for anybody out there who hasn't tried our products at Life Expanded, we've got a range of products designed to help you with all the different pillars of health, whether it's sleep, whether it's focus, whether it's microdosing for mental health, optimizing the immune system, using things like medicinal mushrooms, all the natural ways that we can add value into our lives. So if you are interested, check out lifeexpanded.co.za. Use code LIFEX20 for a 20% discount on your first purchase. That's LIFEX, capital L, capital X, 20 for a 20% discount. But without further ado, let's jump into this episode with Brian, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Cheers. Tweet, should we do this?
It's rock and roll, man.
Nice. Well, Brian, my friend, thanks for joining us today, bro, on the podcast.
Most welcome. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Kickstart the year, the podcast. It's been a while since I've had a guest on.
Okay.
It's been a busy last year, and I'm keen to do more podcasting this year. I always find it such a nice way to get to know somebody on a personal level. And besides the fact that I want to jump into the red light therapy and discuss that topic today, I also want to chat a little bit about you and your story. I was sitting yesterday, Tara had gone to the gym, and I was sitting in front of the TV, and I was thinking, where do I want to take this conversation? And so I put on some YouTube red light therapy, just to like get some idea on the topic and get a bit more information to see like what could be of interest. And you popped up.
Oh, cool. That's a good sign. Yeah. I was wondering that. I was like, oh man, I wonder if he searches red light therapy on YouTube, if Red Light Rising will pop up.
Yeah, you did.
And that's handy. Cool.
A couple of your interviews. And so I clicked on one of them and I just sat there listening to it. And I was actually genuinely interested because you were chatting about your somewhat journey in the health space. And I was sitting thinking there were so many parallels to me and my journey. I know you mentioned you were vegetarian for like 7 years, and I mean, I went through that when I started. I was vegetarian, and then I was vegan for like 5 years, and the health struggles you had, and then the kind of realizations, and then coming across people like Dave Asprey and realizing, like, can I add things like butter and fats to my diet, and having these paradigm shifts happen in this, I suppose, journey towards optimal health. I've often thought about it and realized that it's not something you can just like wake up one day and realize. It's definitely a year-long process of like figuring things out in a world where there's so much information, you don't know where to turn. You actually have to go through this process of realizing, okay, this actually works and this doesn't work. And so I would have to start off with your story in that space, like your transition from, I know you were a carpenter before getting involved with the red light therapy, and we'll chat about that just now. But that transition and like the shifts that happened and what drove you to kind of go down this path of like health.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think like with a lot of us, it sounds like with you too, I've always been into health. You know, I have been interested in it, but I was never like forced to do a real deep dive because I was never sick. My health was always okay. So I was just like kind of, you know, vaguely into working out and didn't really know much about diet. And then like around the time that Facebook came out and Facebook started becoming a thing, and then there started becoming like, you know, you could start to learn stuff on Facebook, as it were. I started to see, actually what I saw the first time was an animal cruelty video on Facebook, you know, about the meat industry and how they were like supposedly abusing the pigs and the cows. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that. So I was like, that's disgusting. I don't want to be part of that. So I became vegetarian. And then, of course, you know, without realizing it, got into the like vegetarian algorithm, as it were. And then everything I was seeing, all the content I was consuming, all the documentaries I was watching were all, you know, pro-plant-based propaganda, I guess. You know, probably it's a bit of a mean word, but, you know, pro-plant-based documentaries and movies. And I was like, this is 100% the best way to go. So I became a vegetarian. And I was, you know, I was a very good vegetarian because I ate all the vegetables I could get my hands on. I ate all the nuts and seeds. I started getting really into supplements, all the powders, the green powders, the brown powders, everything. I was doing everything, big smoothies and juices. I bought a juicer. I had a smoothie. It was everything, you know. Mm. But I didn't really realize it at the time, but my health started deteriorating instantly. But I didn't connect it to diet for 7 years. So my health started deteriorating, and I guess I was also getting a little bit older at that stage, and I was like, fuck, maybe my health is, maybe I'm just unlucky, you know, maybe I'm just a sickly person and a weak person. So started getting digestive problems instantly, started getting joint pain instantly, but just didn't think anything of it and just kept going with the smoothies, thinking, you know, oh, more vegetables, that's what I need more vegetables and more smoothies. And they just started getting wild, you know, like raw sweet potato, raw kale, raw broccoli, all the powders, a banana for sweetness, you know, a few dates, and it turns into like a gray slop. And
yeah,
you know, but I thought I was doing the right thing. And, you know, years and years went by and the pain just got worse. The digestive issues just got worse. And then I was actually eavesdropping on another conversation. And the two women were chatting, and the one woman was saying, you know, like, you know, myself and my husband, you know, we've done all the diets. We've done everything. They were old. They were like in their late 60s, 70s at this time. And my husband's been vegan for 20 years and he's been sick the entire time. So I was working on a farm in Australia. So I was like, kind of like doing what I was doing. And I was listening to this. I'm like, that's suddenly, I didn't like consciously realize that it was familiar, but I was like, oh, this is interesting. Cause I, even at the time, I remember I was in pain, like shoveling, you know, compost. And my husband's been vegan for 20 years. He's been sick the entire time. We did, you know, raw vegan, cooked vegan, soups only, green vegan, white vegan, everything under the sun. And she said, she turned to him one day and said, look, there's only one thing left to do. And that's to try eat some meat. And he started eating meat, and within days his health started coming back. And I was like, oh my God, is that the missing key? Is that what's happened? It suddenly made sense. I cut out meat and animal products all those years ago. I'd been sick the entire time. And then the other, it was actually a nurse speaking to her, said, oh yeah, and I've heard about this blood type diet thing, you know, eat right for your blood type. Not sure, blah, 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 blah. So I immediately like got that book. Read the book, and my blood type, which I'd been donating blood, so I knew my blood was O negative. And according to this book, O negative is the original blood type. It's the hunter-gatherer. It's the meat eater. They like vigorous exercise. They like fasting. They like going long periods without food and then feasting on animal products, heavy workouts. I'm like, oh my God, that's how I was when I was a kid, before I got sick. I loved working out, you know, ate a lot of meat, obviously, being in South Africa. And I was like, this makes perfect sense. So I started slowly adding meat back into my diet, and my health started getting better. So that's when I was like, oh my God, like what else can I learn? And then, you know, went down the rabbit hole. Like you say, I stumbled across Dave Asprey. I'd been hearing about bulletproof coffee, putting butter in your coffee and blending it up. I was like, whoa, you know. So that led me to the high fat diet. Started learning about that. So on my diet side of things, I slowly was reducing the amount of vegetables and carbohydrates, increasing the amount of meat, and increasing the amount of fat. You know, so it got to the point where it's tablespoons of ghee, like over a little pile of broccoli and, you know, a big piece of meat or a little handful of olives and coconut oil, MCT in your coffee, like just olive oil everywhere. And was feeling amazing, like losing weight, gaining muscle, joint pain disappeared, digestive problems disappeared, loads of energy. And once I'd read about the bulletproof coffee from Dave Asprey, I started reading his other books because he had a couple of other books at the time. He's got many more now. And that's what introduced me to biohacking, you know, so like the cold, I think everybody knows about it now, but like cold therapy, saunas, fasting, working out in a certain way, you know, grounding outside, being in the sun, and red light therapy was one of those things. So at that point, I'd been doing everything that I could from Dave's, you know, tips, you know, I was starting to take cold showers and making time to sauna and getting outside and grounding and looking at the sun. Which you can do most of that stuff for free, and then red light therapy was next. And at that point, I was living in the UK. You couldn't get red light therapy at all. I'd actually joined this group in London. It was initially called the Biohackers meetup group in London, which has now morphed into Health Optimization Summit. It's a huge affair in the UK and Europe, but that's what started as the Bulletproof, I mean, the Biohackers Group, something like that. So I'd been going to those meetings in London and then met my current business partner. He was like, my God, should we try and start this red light therapy thing? I was like, okay, we'll try it. Let me backtrack. So I learned about red light therapy, was convinced by the science, couldn't get hold of anything in the UK. And then this guy, James, my business partner, was like, hey, well, I'm going to build some. I've been researching it. So I'm going to build, if you want to throw in some cash, we can build more than one unit. A couple of the other guys threw in some cash. And then, we had our first units built. And I was living in London, depressed, hating life, working as a carpenter, winter, cold, miserable, living in a basement flat. It was one of the worst times of my life. I was really not enjoying life. And I started using red light therapy. And within a week, I was walking down the road like whistling, like happy to be in London in winter in a job that I hated. I was like, oh my God, like I'm in such a good mood. And the only thing that had changed was red light therapy. Then I started noticing like all my wounds and my injuries because I was a carpenter. So my hands were constantly bashed up and scraped and scarred and splinters. I started noticing my wounds were healing a lot quicker because in winter in London, like working on a building site, your hands just get so dry and then the skin starts to crack and it's so painful. I used to have to like put moisturizer on, wrap up my fingertips, you know, every day before going to work. It was brutal. So I was used to that pain and used to how long it would last. And once I started the red light therapy, they were in 2 days, there was no more pain. And I was like, sure. And that's when I knew like this red light therapy really works. So, and then just from there, because I was in this biohackers group in London, immediately we were like, who wants red light therapy? We've started building products. Tons of people bought, boom, boom, boom. And then it just, you know, organically took off from there. Luckily, right time at the right place, you know?
Yeah. Man, that is so interesting. Just listening to you, when I started, I'll never forget, when I first started the transition into like vegetarianism, veganism, I watched a video on Facebook. It was literally Gary Yourofsky, I'll never forget. And I think it was called The Greatest Speech You'll Ever Hear. And back then, I mean, going into like, I know you use the word propaganda, but looking back, it somewhat is because it is very much myopically focused on one area. And like when you watch all of those things you do, like I was like, I can never support this. And so like from an ethical standpoint, I was like, I need to go vegan. But then I did start to notice my health increase. But if I look back, the way I was living was terrible. Mm. So there was a short increase in my health, in the time frame, increase in health. And then there's this kind of idea that it's good for the environment, which you really learn as you go, that it's really not the case. It's also a very nuanced topic. Mm. And so... yes, you can. There's an argument for looking at a lot of the vegan arguments is valid in terms of the factory farming and all that. But when you see that for the first time, you're like, I can never support this. And so you go down this path of veganism. But I also, like you, I started noticing after 5 years, like rapid deterioration in my health. And like I was like doing all the things, taking all the supplements, B12s, all these things that, you know, you can supplement as a vegan. And I was stick thin. I looked like I was, falling through my ass and just...
you look like a vegan.
But it's amazing how you can identify with this ideology. And it's like, I know the famous saying from Carl Jung, it's like... people don't have ideas. Ideas have people. And it becomes like this mind virus where it becomes your identity and you just, this ideology takes over. And like, I was like, I'm a vegan and I'm this and I'm a good person and I support the planet and I don't kill animals. But eventually having to face realization, like maybe I'm wrong. Like maybe there's actually like more out there. And then starting to broaden my, like listening to podcasts where people were debating this topic and starting to realize like, maybe there's another side to the story. And I'll never forget the first time I introduced, because then I started hearing about the benefits of organ meats and how nutrient dense they are. And so introducing liver into my diet, I took liver capsules one night for the first thing I ever took. And I'll never forget lying there the whole night, felt like every cell in my body was like waking up. And I was like, Jesus, I've been depleting my body for years now. So that was another tipping point into, all the other things that you mentioned. But it's just so interesting to hear that because it's, it seems to be a common thread in people going down this health and wellness, more natural route. And then coming across, like you say, all the biohacking things and realizing how many other things you can start to add into your life and optimizing sleep and how that becomes important. All these areas we don't really think of in general. becomes quite important. So my limited knowledge on like light therapy, I mean, I realized a while ago, obviously, how good sunlight is. Mm. Trying to get into the sun every day, of course, vitamin D, but also just in general, like there's something to be said for everything. Like the sun provides life for everything. Mm. So why would we think we're different? So just trying to get in the sun. I know just I feel better in the days that I'm in the sun. And then one thing I had come across a while ago was trying to optimize sleep, and that comes with not looking at screens at night because of the blue junk light affecting your, you know, your melatonin production and all these things. Blue light blocking glasses, use that every night. But in terms of that, I mean, that's the extent of my real knowledge on it. And now looking into the red light stuff, I've been sold without having to really be like convinced, because you can, from listening to conversations from you and just seeing that in the field of red light, that there's something to this. And then obviously there's infrared saunas and red light, which I don't know what the difference is. I'd love for you to touch on that. But starting off, before we get specific into red light, like just the benefits of light therapy and getting light into your life, like if you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, that's great. And I find like the most useful way to think about light therapy and red light therapy and sun exposure and everything is to think of it like evolutionarily speaking. Okay, so we kind of know that light is very important for us, and the most important light for the whole of humanity, for the whole of existence of the planet, has been the sun. Okay, so what's really cool about red light therapy is that red light, what they discovered when they discovered red light therapy, is that this very specific kind of light that has a very specific effect on the human body. And that light is red light and infrared light, both of which come from the sun. So that's one of the reasons why the sun is so good for you. So there's obviously there's the UV, which gives you a nice golden tan, but also helps with vitamin D production and a bunch of other things in the body. And then there's the full spectrum of the rainbow, the, all the different colors of the light of the rainbow that come from the sun as well. Obviously, you can't see them on a normal day, but you're getting blue, green, yellow, orange, red, all the infrareds and a bunch of other kinds of light that we can't see. And they're all good for us. They all do things for us. I mean, it's the blue and the green light during the day that keeps you awake and keeps you alert. So that's why artificial light is so, can be so dangerous. It's because it's very high in blue and green light, which is good when it comes from the sun at the right time of the day. And when you're getting light from the sun, it's automatically the right time of the day, because that's when the sun is up. So, you know, there's nothing to hack when it comes to the sun, because, you know, if you wake up early in the morning, you're getting exactly the right light for that time of the day. If you go out in the sun at midday, you're getting exactly the right kind of light, and your DNA has evolved to receive that light, and the processes of your body work in sync with that light. So, you know, there's very generally you should work out at a certain time of day, you should eat at a certain time of day, you should go to sleep at a certain time of day, and everything else, if you can get that into like a proper schedule, it'll actually become better because your body will track it. Okay, I mean, the classic example is waking up and like, oh, half an hour after I wake up, I gotta go to the toilet. That's part of the circadian rhythm. You know, your body knows when you wake up, there's light, okay, half an hour, toilet time. That's circadian rhythm. Okay. And so what we discovered, so included in that full spectrum from the sun is the red and infrared light, which you can generally, I mean, it's all day, but you can generally see it at sunrise. It's very obvious. It's these beautiful, you know, pinks and oranges before it goes into normal white light. That's your natural red light therapy. And then sunset to the end of the day, when it's setting again, you know, yellow, orange, red, purple, black, boom. That's when you get the most red light therapy from the sun, sunrise and sunset. And it's also when the sun is highest in infrared light. As it's coming over the horizon, it's the highest amount of infrared comes in, and then as it's dipping the other side. And so what we discovered, what science discovered, is that it's the red and infrared light that is particularly beneficial for humans. And it's one of the reasons why you feel so good when you go in the sun, because you're getting pounded by infrared light. The infrared light goes right into your body. Your cells can absorb it. Your cells make energy. And when your cells have energy, your tissue has more energy, your body has more energy, and you feel good. You're walking down the road. You're like, oh God, what a lovely day, you know? And for those of us that have lived in the Northern Hemisphere, lived in the UK, like, we know, man, when winter comes around, it gets heavy. It gets hard. You know, you don't see the sun, it's not warm, and your mood and your energy just blah. You feel like you could sleep all the time. And it's for that exact reason. You're not getting energy from the sun. you know, that's where seasonal affective disorder comes in.
I was about to say, yeah, that's a real thing, eh? According to the seasons, actually having depression in 100%. Listening to people like Andrew Huberman, I think it was last year, I didn't realize how much of an impact the seeing the sun first thing in the morning affects. That sets the circadian rhythm for you to be able to fall asleep at the right time at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was quite a big shift in like perspective. Like, okay, cool. First thing in the morning, try get outside and try get that sunlight into your eyes. It's got to set the body's natural processes in motion. And then one thing I discovered with the red light was, I didn't know this, but it's the only, I think, wavelength or frequency of light that can penetrate deep into the skin. That's why I saw this thing where they showed like taking your phone light and putting it on your skin, you see red, but it's the only light going through your skin. And so the mechanisms of action of red light therapy obviously is working on the mitochondria and ATP. I'm not too sure how that all works, but it's like penetrating into the cells and having a positive effect on your physiology. Is that correct? When you're using the red light itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's a couple of interesting points then. One thing that really is worth like stressing to anybody who's interested in health is the circadian rhythm, because circadian rhythm controls everything, and it's a very, very, very precise clock. So the great example is that's one of the reasons why it is good to get up and watch the sunrise, but it's not practical for 90% of the people on the planet. But you can still somewhat prime your circadian rhythm with regular light therapy, or with red light therapy even better. And it's for two reasons. So there's a circadian aspect to red light therapy, and there's a mitochondrial aspect to red light therapy. The circadian aspect is the red and infrared light at sunrise and sunset, because your body's primed for that. So if you're not lucky enough to live, you know, where you can watch the sun come over the horizon, you can substitute red light therapy for that. So the way you would do that, and we might get into this later on, is, you know, I recommend people take their red light therapy. I recommend people do everything at the same time every day, because that's the most optimal way. Because once your circadian rhythm is trained on your habits, it'll start to anticipate those habits. Okay, so for example, if you eat breakfast at 8 o'clock every day, your body will expect that. Mm. So it'll shut down non-essential procedures and get ready to digest. And then you'll digest better. Same with working out. If you lift weights at the same every day, your body will anticipate that and release the correct hormones, etc., to have the best weightlifting session possible. But if you're constantly confusing that, so you're supposed to be eating and then you decide, I'm going to lift weights today instead. You can do it, obviously, but you're just not, it's not optimal. It's not the best way to do it. So sunrise and sunset is a good time for red light therapy, because it mimics what would happen in nature. You would see the reds and get the high infrared at sunrise and the high infrared and the red at sunset. That's the circadian aspect. And then the mitochondrial aspect, you're 100% right. So red light therapy, so red light therapy is made of two kinds of light for starters. So it's the red light, which is obviously red. There's no confusing. It's what you see, like that's why all our stuff is red. You know, when someone's doing red light therapy, the whole room lights up in red. That's no mistake.
When I do it at night, the whole room is just like red.
Yeah. So that's the red light. There's, you know, there's no mistake in it. And then the other one is the infrared light, which is invisible. Okay. So you can't see that. So I know you've got the target light too. Yeah. You will have noticed when you're flicking through it, one of them is like a very faint pink. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that very faint pink is the near infrared light, which is invisible. Okay. So red light goes not actually that deep into the body. It just gets through the first few layers of skin. Red light is generally good for stuff on the outside of the body.
Okay.
Skin, eyes, hair, circadian rhythm, ambient light, nails, everything on the outside of the body. The near infrared light is what goes deep into the body, up to 7.5 centimeters. So that's like that much into your body. So you can imagine that. That's through the rib cage, into the lungs, into the organs, into the bones, into your joints, deep into your body. Of course, your body, everything is made up of cells. Most cells, if not all cells, have mitochondria. The mitochondria can absorb this light, and what this light does is there's something called a Krebs cycle, which is like an energy process in the cell where it's, you know, it's burning certain kinds of chemicals, and out the other end it spits out ATP, which is energy. So in that cycle there's some nitrogen cleaved onto stuck onto some part of the process, and when it absorbs the infrared light, it boots out that nitrogen, and in the place of that nitrogen, some oxygen gets attached into the cycle. So the cycle actually has more oxygen than it normally would. Like some people say, I think it's like 30% or something more oxygen, which is, you know, I guess you could say is a 30% boost in cellular energy. So you're getting more oxygen in the cellular energy, And then you're also getting this little nitrogen particle that gets, you know, pushed off and gets converted into nitric oxide that goes into the bloodstream, and that's a vasodilator.
Yeah.
So that increases your blood flow. So you're getting a little double whammy effect. You're getting more energy, you're getting more blood flow, and you're getting a bunch of other things at the same time.
That is super interesting. I saw something, and now it also makes sense. I was like trying to figure out, like, why is red light therapy not more, like, why is no, like, not more conventionally known? Like, it should be everywhere.
Mm.
But if you look at the list of benefits that, that seems to be happening from using red light therapy, and they were saying, like, if red light therapy was a drug that you could sell, everybody would be on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, and I think going to your normal doctor, he's not going to prescribe you to go stand in front of a red light machine. I think it's obviously, as we know, anything in the alternative world is a bit takes a bit longer to catch on. But looking into the benefits of it, it sounds incredible and seems incredible. Like, what have been some of the most phenomenal things you've seen with people benefiting from red light therapy?
I mean, I'm kind of lucky because I get emails and messages every day with happy stories, you know, success stories. Okay. The most profound thing I've seen, it stopped someone from committing suicide.
Oh, wow.
Because she was so depressed. She was so miserable. Life, her hair was falling out. She had no energy. She hated work. I think her partner left. She was so depressed. Like, and in her email, she said, like, I was this close to suicide. And she decided to just try red light therapy. She'd heard about it for mood and depression and energy. Mm. She got the small light. This was a few years ago now. She got the small light, she tried red light therapy, and within a couple of weeks, completely changed her life. Completely. She got her dream job back. She got a new partner. Her hair came back thicker than ever before. Her mood was amazing. She got back to the gym. It literally saved her life.
Yeah.
That was the most profound thing. A lot of really great stories that I hear is based around, like, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia.
Okay.
People that have just pain all the time and pain everywhere, and, you know, as far as I know, like, the conventional way of treating that is just, we don't know what's up.
Yeah.
You know, and then these people are doing their own research, finding out it's a mitochondrial problem. What helps mitochondria? First thing that comes up, red light therapy, boom. So we've had phenomenal results with that too, like massive decreases in pain.
Yeah.
People are going from bedridden to getting up, to walking, to going downstairs, to walking the street, to going back to gym. And they don't change anything, you know, so they say, so they tell me, besides the red light therapy. We've got one client that's reversed his osteoporosis.
Sure.
He had osteoporosis for a couple of years, was on all the medications, and nothing was working. And he'd been on the side doing his own research, and he decided he's fed up with this. The pills aren't working. His osteoporosis is getting worse. He's going to cancel all the pills and just try red light therapy. And he bought some big stacks from us. And he did red light therapy for a year. He had his DEXA scans before red light therapy, and he had his DEXA scans after a year of red light therapy. And he'd officially moved from osteoporosis back down. They downgraded it to osteopenia, I think, which, and that showed that he'd achieved a 13% increase in bone density in his hips and in his spine. And his doctors were like, we don't know what's up. You know, and that's the infrared light going into the bones, stimulating the bone cells. The bones are growing thicker and stronger, and the bone marrow is getting better.
That's incredible. I saw that also somebody explained that light therapy and the mechanisms of light is more efficient than any drug, any sound, any other mechanism of action to come in and, like, have a positive effect. And it's so wild because it's yeah, we should be taught these things growing up.
But
man,
it's so woo-woo. That's the thing. That's what's so challenging about the education side of it.
Yes.
Because it does sound crazy.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for 7-8 years now, and it's crazy. When people, like, because, you know, I handle a lot of, like, you know, the business WhatsApp is connected to my phone. So I answer a lot of these questions. And sometimes people are like, hey, I've been reading about it, but I've got to be honest, this sounds like bullshit.
Yes.
Like, how can standing in front of a red light, an expensive red light, be so good for you?
For sure.
Then when you understand this, that's why I like to tie it in with the sun, because that's really what it is. We're taking the best parts of the sun and bringing it inside. Arguably, you could include UV in that, but UV's got a lot of user risks because you can get serious damage from overexposure to UV.
Yeah.
There's no damage of overexposure to red light therapy. It's like a miracle.
No, for sure. And that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people won't be able to go out and buy a red light, and that is a reality. But just recognizing how beneficial it is just to get some sunlight in every day. Like, it's such a game changer, 10 minutes in the sun, like, for your overall health.
Yeah.
Really, really phenomenal. One other question I had, because I don't know the difference. Like, what, for people wondering, like, what's the difference between, like, an infrared sauna and red light?
That's a very common question. So infrared... infrared light is a massive, massive spectrum of light, and there's literally millions of kinds of infrared light, because the way light is measured, you know, it's measured numerically. So like the blues and the greens are like the 400s to 500s. Then it goes, you know, to, then
is that the wavelengths? Or
the wavelengths.
Okay, yeah.
But if you can imagine a rainbow, you know, it's not like red and then hard stop.
Yeah.
The next color, hard stop. It's a slow transition. The colors change color as they go through, and each one of those, you know, those minuscule color changes actually has a measurement. You could technically measure it, you know? Infrared's the same thing. So infrared's a very, very long. I mean, if you think, let's say that, you know, the visible part of the light spectrum, let's say, is this big. And that's the color of the rainbows. That's what you could see as a human. If we could refract it, you'd see it's this big. Infrared is like, you know, three times the size of this house. That's how much infrared light there is. Okay. And near infrared is what we use in red light therapy. That's the one that's been found to penetrate your cells and cause an increase in cellular energy. It specifically causes an increase in cellular energy. And it's a very narrow bandwidth. It's from about 800 to about just over 1,000 nanometers. And it's not everyone. It's not 801, 802, 803, 804. It's 810, you know, and more or less maybe 809 and 811. 830, maybe 828 to 832, 850, 880. Those are the most beneficial ones. That's infrared in red light therapy. That's near infrared. And that's what's used in red light therapy. In infrared saunas, it's way down the other side. It's like, I don't even know what the wavelengths are there, but it's far infrared. So it's the other side of the spectrum.
Okay.
It's also invisible. It's also very good for you, but it doesn't cause cellular energy production. It penetrates your body as well, very deep. But what that light does is it heats the water in and around your cells. So that's why they say you sweat from the inside. It heats you up from the inside. You go into an infrared sauna, it's not very hot.
Yeah.
But you sit there for a while, the light's going in, it's heating the water inside your body, and that puts your body temperature up and you sweat.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. Sure. I listened to... I know you also did the Gary Brecker podcast with Joe Rogan. It was a phenomenal episode, and they also chatted about red light therapy and that. Is there anything that somebody who's interested in this should look out for? I mean, like, there's obviously different specifications around these devices, and like I suppose, how do you know you're getting the right thing? And like, what is something to consider if you wanted to go and look at getting a red light?
The fact of the matter is now, which is great for consumers and people who are interested in getting into red light therapy, is all the major brands are good enough.
Okay.
None of them are like, oh, this is actually a scam product. Like, it's not going to do what we say. All of them are good enough, because, you know, maybe 5 years ago, you could say, oh no, these three are the best. Those three are all scammers. Okay. But all the major brands, which, you know, the major brands, is probably 10 of them now. And then there's, you know, there's 20 secondary brands. I don't know what you want to say that, but there's probably 50 brands altogether. Okay. But the top 10, which is all you need to decide on, they've all got products that are good enough.
Okay. So don't overthink it.
Yeah. The thing that people need to worry about, because this is, again, like what I see every day, okay, because I spend a lot of time on blogs and forums and seeing what people are talking about within red light therapy. There's one misconception, and Gary Brecker got this part wrong, in my opinion, and so did this guy called something Bueller, the guy who was on Joe Rogan a few days later from Waste to Well.
Jim Bueller or something.
No, not Jim Brewer. No. Something Bueller.
Okay.
He's got an unusual name, but he's the guy that owns Waste to Well in Austin, that wellness clinic that Joe goes to a lot. He also got it wrong. Gary Brecker was talking about, like, you need the most powerful light out there. That's why we made these 150 grand beds.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking nonsense. You don't need the most powerful. That's like saying you need to get closer to the sun to get the benefits. The fact is that you actually need a slightly lower power device and a slightly longer exposure time, because you're getting in front of the most powerful red light therapy device you can get your hands on. It means like a 2 or 3 second treatment, because red light therapy is actually a very technical, it's a very complex therapy. And we know the details of it roughly. We know the rough parameters. We don't know exactly, but we know roughly. We know roughly how much energy you need to get. If you're looking for skin benefits, you need less energy. If you're looking for joint pain benefits, you need more energy. And we know what those numbers are. Okay. So we can take the power of a light, do the calculation and say, oh, with this light, you need 5 minutes to get this much energy to get joint pain relief, which is what we know from scientific studies. Okay. But the problem is with the scientific studies is they've got, there's studies that show very, very low powered devices work fantastic. Medium powered devices work fantastic. High powered devices work fantastic. So they all work. Okay. So, but what's happened is in the industry, which, you know, it's bums me out because it's a version of a race to the bottom, because all these companies, all they're doing now is trying to bring out the most powerful device possible every year. It's like a new iPhone every year. The camera's slightly better, but the iPhone 10 years ago was amazing. We didn't really need another one, but every year it's slightly better, slightly faster, slightly brighter. And that's what they're doing with red light therapy. But the most, you know, the most basic red light therapy has been good enough for 5 years, you know, 6 years, even the products that the main brands are making, because the power is there. The power is good enough. You don't have to get, you know, people are going crazy with 6 watt LEDs and 200 milliwatts per centimeter squared, which is way too high. That's bordering on burning. You know, when you get in front of one of those products, you feel, you start sweating. You're like, oh, this is too hot, you know. So that's what Gary Brecker, in my opinion, misrepresented there. But he wanted to sell a $150,000 bed to Joe Rogan. And it sounds like he did.
And it sounded like it.
Because, you know, like, oh, you need the most powerful. You don't. Yeah. You need to know how to use red light therapy properly, okay? So any device that you get, as long as you know the power of that and you know how to do the calculation, or the company can tell you, that's the best part. The company selling the red light therapy should already do all the calculations. So if you say, I want eyes, skin, painful knee, fibromyalgia, sleep, they've already done all that. And they can say, well, if you're using our products, we've done all that. This is what you do for each of those things. But none of them are. Because all they're doing is focusing on getting the most power. Yeah. So all I see all day on blogs and forums is, hey guys, I bought the X brand light. How do I use it for knee pain? And I'm like, that should be the first thing they tell you when you buy the light. They should exactly tell you how to use it. Yeah. Problem is, none of them can. Because none of them are experts. None of them care about red light therapy. There's LightPath LED, which has an expert running that company, and he knows what he's talking about. There's Jemba Red. There's an expert running that company. He knows what he's talking about. There's Red Light Rising, which is my company. I know what I'm talking about. Juve, they used to, I don't know. I haven't heard anything from them in a long time,
to
be honest.
That's the only other name I know.
And they've got guys that, I'm not sure if they're experts, but they were selling red light. They were the first ones to sell it as a therapy. All the other companies don't have experts. Okay. So all the other companies are just, you know, bandwagon companies. They're like, oh shit, we know how to build a business. Yeah. Let's build a business and sell red light therapy.
Yeah.
So the devices are flying out the door, and then their customers need to go to forums and go, hey, I've got this brand's light, X model Z, whatever. How do I use it for knee pain and eye health and sleep? And then you're waiting for the public to come in and say, oh, you got to do this. I emailed them and they said this. Oh, no, I heard this. And da, da, da. You know, like, you should have everything step by step from day one when you're buying from these brands.
For sure.
So my opinion, a long way of answering your question, is that when you're buying something from someone, before you even buy it, which is what my company does, you can have the instruction book immediately. So you can already study how you were going to use it and then buy the product. And there should be very few questions left unanswered.
Incredible. I think that pretty much covers it. And I think, even starting small, like we got a small light now, and I think the plan is over time to eventually get a nice bigger setup and have all of that. But I was even thinking the other day, this is all good and well, and I think it's amazing for somebody to go out and buy a red light. But a lot of people are looking to biohack, but they don't get the fundamentals right. And I think it's so crucial just to like get the basics right. Make sure you're sleeping well, eating well, moving and getting sunlight. If you get those fundamentals, then they start to like, you know, explore all these other things, but don't sit there if you can't afford to get a red light and think now that's the end of the world. Like, there's other things you can do to get yourself feeling good. So on that note, like, starting to transition into, I just want to find out like a little bit more about your daily routine or the way that you optimize your day, because I find I struggle with wanting to do all the things all day that just make me feel good, and also trying to run a business which needs me to sit and work and edit and do these things, and I'm like, fuck. And I find I love training in the mornings, but it's the only time I actually want to get work done as well. So trying to juggle all of that, how's your work-life balance and how do you manage
it's a constant
that?
Struggle, man. It really is a constant struggle. Like the best time of, let's just say it this way, when I had the least amount of responsibility, I was doing the most amount of biohacking. You know, I left the UK when I first started this company. It doesn't pay me enough to live in the UK, so I left the UK and I moved to Guatemala, and then I just, you know, I was living at a friend's hotel for a long time and had a lot of spare time. So then my biohacking was like, you know, I had 3 hours for a morning routine. Do you know what I mean? Then I had 3 hours for lunch. I had 3 hours at the end of the day to do what I wanted. You know, so. It was. It's a great question, and I think, I mean, the first thing I do now, when someone reaches out and says, "Hey, I want some red light therapy for sleep," I first say, "Well, what is your current sleep hygiene like?" You know, I watch Netflix till midnight. Then I check my emails, and then I have a coffee. Then I go to sleep, and it's like, man, like I don't want you to buy red light therapy because it could help. It might help. But you got to get all that right. You know, so like you said, you got to get the basics right, you know. So, you know.
It's the same issue I have, sorry. It's like the same issue I have. One of our products is like a natural sleep aid. It's got a bunch of natural ingredients in it. Really great for helping kind of switch off. But sleep is such a big topic. Like if you got 10 other things that are wrong with your the way you're approaching going to sleep, and then you're expecting a pill to fix your problem, like it's not going to work. And so it's always the trick. It's like, what are your fundamentals like? Because if those are all out, the pill's not going to help you. It might add to your life if you get, and it's a tricky one.
Yeah. And, you know, and like you said, like the red light therapy is expensive. So I don't want to sell someone a light who it might not help. You know, if your routine is absolutely trash, and then I don't even bother to find that out, and I sell you an expensive light, and you go, hey man, this light didn't do anything. Then I got to deal with the refunds and all that stuff. So I try. I mean, obviously it's not possible at scale, but I try to. I mean, I guess I do it a lot through content and emails. Like I try and tell people, hey man, before you spend money on red light therapy or any hack for that matter, just make sure you're getting some of the free stuff done. You know, make sure you're getting outside in the morning as soon as you can, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes. You know, like most of us, let's be honest, most of us have time to make a coffee and sit on our phone, and scroll for 10 minutes while we're waking up. But we think we don't have time, but we're scrolling our phones instead. Okay, take your phone with you if you must, but go outside, get a little bench outside somewhere, put your feet on the grass, face the rising sun, even if you feel like crap. Drink your coffee. And just get that first bit of light in your eyes. You know, get the sun on your skin. Stand on the earth. Stand on the grass. You know, then there's the classic, you know, jump in a cold shower. You know, try some fasting. All this stuff is kind of free. Journaling, gratitude, writing down your thoughts and your feelings. You know, cutting down on the sweets and the alcohol and the cake. And I mean, cutting down on drinking coffee first thing in the morning, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing. If somebody's diet's complete trash, like nothing else much is gonna help you. So there's certain things you need to get in place right. And what you mentioned just now as well, something that people should laugh at me about, but like getting barefoot, it's so good for you. When I moved to Scarborough, like now every day I'll go barefoot. Like this morning I went to the beach barefoot. I take the dogs. I always walk them barefoot. And I find if I don't do that, I actually get a bit more irritable. And it's like there's something about now craving that connection. And it's one of those things you don't know until you know it, like how beneficial it is, like getting out in the morning barefoot and just taking that time. Like when I do that in the morning, my day is better. When I start the day on my phone scrolling, anxiety like sets in and I'm like, my mind starts getting scattered. I'm like, fuck, why am I doing this? So you can start to clearly see how your days shift when you like take a bit of time to just do the right things, set yourself up for a good day, and kind of carries you through.
The biggest funny, like I've known about grounding for a long time. And I, you know, I'll do it on and off. Sometimes I don't always remember, or, you know, when I was living in London, like trying to find a patch of grass, you know. But I remember like a good reminder for me was a few months ago. I was, you know, we were launching a new website, and I was building the website. So I was waking up super early every day and just building as fast as I could. I wanted to get it ready for Black Friday, building this website as fast as I could, and getting very anxious and getting very overwhelmed with the work, because there's obviously all the other aspects of the business I still need attending to. And one day I was so I just felt so stressed and so anxious, which is really unusual for me. So when I do get it, it's like, oh my God, like I feel terrible, you know? So I felt, and I just went, you know, bugger it. I went outside, took off all my clothes, just lay on the grass in the sun for like 15 minutes. And I came back and I swear to God, I was high, man. I lay on the couch. I was like, oh God, I feel so good. I feel so relaxed, man. I was so peaceful. And that's when I was like, wow. That's like lying on the grass, getting grounded, getting the sun on your skin, you know, it's just, wow, absolutely magic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Last night, we actually had quite a tough night, the little one. I woke up this morning, I was like, fuck, I'm not feeling as like good as I need to. I was like, okay, cool, what do I need to do? Go down to the beach, do some breath work, jump in the ocean for like 10 minutes, ice cold, get that natural cold in, come back, have a bulletproof coffee. Fuck, I feel great. So there's certain little hacks you can do, and
now I'm on fire.
And boom, you're good to go. Yeah, man, this has been cool. Like, I also think your content on your Instagram has been really, really valuable. So if people want to know the most, check out Red Light Rising. You've got such cool, valuable, informative content on there if people want to know more about Red Light. And obviously your company is like top. So people must look at you guys. I'll put all the links in the description. But yeah, is there anything else you want to like share or chat about? Or yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think, yeah, we don't, it's... You know, with this kind of health stuff, like you were saying in the beginning, it's a slow process.
It is,
you know, because if you had to sit down and tell someone everything you do, all the supplements you take, all the stuff you know, people, whoa. You're saying wake up and go in the sun. Like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it is such a slow process, you know. There's very few people, there's very few types of people that can get a book on biohacking A to Z, open it up, read it, and just start doing everything every day. You know, I'm one of those people. I was like that. But for most people, you know, with a family, with a job, you got a commute, you got a desk job, you got, you know, hobbies and this and that. Like, it's tough, man. So I would get the book, get a book about biohacking. You know, Dave Asprey's a great place to start, but there's, you know, Ben Greenfield, there's a bunch of people now. You can, I'm sure they've got, you know, content that you can study. And just start picking one or two things.
And that's the thing, you don't have to do everything every day. Yeah. I mean, some people do become hyper obsessed, and you can see, I've listened to some interviews with some guys who are like trying to like never age. And I'm like, okay, you might be just like, life's also enjoy life. You can still enjoy your life, but just add some of these elements in certainly, and you can drastically improve the quality.
That's actually a great point, which I ignored for a very, very long time until the influencers, the biohacking influencers started to talk about it. And that's community. And that's enjoying life.
Yeah.
That's actually a biohack.
Oh, yeah.
Because the, you know, all, so okay, so let's talk about this. What biohacking is. Biohacking is choosing to do habits or choosing hobbies or activities, habits that actually change the chemistry of your body. All right. So choosing to jump in the ocean, freezing cold ocean, changes the chemistry in your body for the better. Getting in a sauna changes the chemistry of your body for the better. Having a fast changes the chemistry. Having a good community of people, you're like, God damn, I love this guy. This guy's so funny.
Yeah.
Changes your chemistry. And it changes your chemistry for the better. And it can keep you younger. It can keep you happier. It can keep your brain working. It can keep everything ticking along. So, but I ignored that. You know, not by choice, I guess, because I lived in the UK. What I was doing, I was working for short times in the UK and then traveling to Central America and living there as long as I could on my savings and then having to go back and work. So I was choosing to work in London because it was the easiest place to make money, and I had no friends there. I had a couple of acquaintances, but I had no friends. But I was just hustling to make money anyway. Went to Central America, had no friends. But I was having a great time. I was like, fuck, I live in paradise. I can do what I want. You know, I had acquaintances, but I never had like, you know, all the people I knew were like, stay up late drinking, wake up late. Hours, wake up early, doesn't drink, fast all day, is working out all day, you know. So they weren't my vibe.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, late 30s, I started to notice it. I was like, fuck, I need friends, man. Like, I'm fucking biohacking king, doing all the hacks, fasting like a legend, you know, like, health is pretty on point, joy, nowhere to be seen, you know.
Well, the biggest, was that longest study was, like, loneliness is the biggest killer. And will drastically decrease your lifespan, and like, it's like the biggest predictor of being like unhappy. It's like being lonely, and it's so true. Even me and Tara, we can very much get into our like little bubble. But over time, I'm like, fuck, I just need people. Like and then you spend some time with good people, have a good laugh, and you're like, fuck, this is good for the soul.
Yeah.
And there's so much to be said for having a good community. Mm-hmm. I think that should definitely be classified as a biohack.
Yeah, it is. It is now. That's the thing. That's what drew my attention to it, is because a lot of the influences I was following, you know, people like me, like we were all biohacking together. You know, I had a nice community on IG.
Yeah.
I was connected to all these biohackers from around the world because we were doing all the same thing.
Yeah.
And then they all started talking about community. And I was like, huh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I actually was starting to realize, like, I was living in Guatemala or living in Mexico going, like, I wish my friends were here. Yeah. I'm in the most beautiful beach in the world alone. Like, there's none of my best friends are here. I wish my best friends were here.
Yeah.
So that's when I started realizing, huh, something's got to change, you know? Yeah. So we decided to move back to South Africa, move to Cape Town. And I'm lucky, like, I've started meeting people. Like, I've, you know, by chance moved into this area and I've been bumping into people like you and, you know, whoever else, Calvin and a few other people.
Yeah.
And, like, it's people that, oh my God, they think the same as me. Yeah. They want to be healthy.
Yes.
If I can call you and a bunch of other people, let's go to the beach and, you know, have a swim. The water in Cape Town's freezing.
Yeah.
But there's six of us that'll be like, whoop, we'll go, we'll meet, we'll do it. And that's the community. You know, like, you've got the same habits, but... Yeah, you know, that's actually another good point.
And it's rare to find, but I mean, I'm glad you ended up this side of the world. Like, I grew up in Cape Town, but I grew up on the other side of Cape Town, like up the West Coast. And coming this side, it's definitely a cool vibe this side of Cape Town, and there's definitely a couple of like-minded people around. And and as that kind of cliche saying goes, your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah.
You start to find people in the same kind of interests as you. And it's cool, man. So yeah, this has been fucking awesome.
Cool.
That's thanks for joining me, bro.
No stress, man. My pleasure.
So many other things. I'm sure I'm going to kick myself for not like asking you or delving into, but I think we can definitely set up another one at some point.
Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime.
Chat. Thank you, my bro.
Cool. You're welcome.
Yeah.